Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
The Lord showed me the word destiny in big letters. And He showed me a person walking towards their destiny. And they could see it at first. They could see the goal. They could see what they were called to do. Maybe they could see little things about it, or maybe they knew some things about it, and they knew, here's the thing about your destiny, you're born with certain giftings and abilities that completely mold and fit your destiny. Your destiny is why you have the personality you have. It's why you are the way that you are. If you're more of an introvert, if you're more of a person that likes to be alone with God, or if you're more of an extrovert, that has to do with the destiny that you were called to fulfill. That's who you are. That's like the fingerprint, the thumbprint of God on your soul. Your own individual fingerprint of God for you. You have a destiny that is the one and only for you. Nobody else has one like it. There's nobody like you, never has been, never will be. And the destiny that you will fulfill, that's who you are made up to be. But this is what I saw. I saw a person walking towards their destiny. And as they went on their journey, they were being made ready to fulfill it to its fullest. They were being made ready to carry their destiny and to carry and fulfill their purpose as no one else can. But because of how we're born into a family, we deal with people, we're, you know, usually not born again till fairly well a few years into our life, so we've got some baggage usually. And what I saw is this person who knows their destiny, and they know there's something on the inside. If you're born again, you know that there's something. You may not know exactly what it is, but you know there's something you were born to do. You also know there's nothing else that's going to make you happy. Nothing else will fulfill you like your destiny will fulfill you. There's nothing that makes you truly happy until you're doing the thing you were born to do. But the problem is we want to do it today. We want it now. We want to do it. But there's this journey that happens because of all the stuff you go through before you're born again, and even sometimes after you're born again. Sometimes you have luggage. Sometimes you have strongholds. Sometimes you have habits. Sometimes you have wrong thinking systems, thought patterns that need to go. And what's happening is you're being changed and molded into the image of Christ to fulfill this destiny. And so what happens, the reason a lot of ministries are aborted is people run to it and they pick it up and they start trying to do it, but they haven't yet been molded into the perfect pattern for it.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you have to wait till you're perfect, but there's a timing where God will release you into your destiny. If you try to do it before then, a lot of times you mess it up.
Yes.
Because you're not really ready. And this is true of everybody. But this is what I saw. As the person was focused, they could see it. And as they were going along their journey and they were praying and saying, oh Lord, you know, let me fulfill my destiny, let me do this for you, I feel this, I'm called to do such and so. As they were praying and they were saying, Lord, you know, change me, Lord, do these things, they were passing through a woods. And as they were going down their path, they kind of, it was harder to see the destiny because there were trees in the way, there was stuff in the way. Because on the journey, sometimes it's, you can lose sight of your vision. Because things begin to come in to obstruct.
Amen.
You know, things happen. Stuff happens. Situations happen. Relationships happen. You know, sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's God. And what happens is I see this person going along this path and they're headed for the destiny for which they were born. And their journey is designed. A lot of times, especially if you're a praying person, sometimes you think if you pray enough, it should be easier. But really, if you pray enough, what happens is God will take you down a path that sometimes is difficult. Because what He's doing, that's His way of working a surgery in you. His way of working a surgery in you is to take you down a path you might not have gone by choice and didn't want to and didn't think you needed. And it's not fun. But He'll put you in a place where suddenly you're confronted with yourself. You're confronted with something about yourself. And this is true of everybody that's called to God. It's just, part of it. It's just the way it is. And this journey is destined to free you from all this stuff and mold you into the image of Christ. And so as you go along, God will hand design scenarios for you to walk through where you're released from some things, where you are some things are added to you. Because as we say, Lord, change me into your image, well, you know what that means. If you want to be changed in his image, then some things need to leave and some things need to be added. You know, if you take any human and they become born again and they want to be changed into the image of Christ, there will be some things that need to leave that aren't like Jesus, and there's some things that need to be added that are like Jesus. And as you go along and you get older and older in your walk of the Spirit and your walk in God, you should, you know, things should be, you know, leaving, hallelujah, and things should be being added that cause you to be more and more like Him each day.
Amen.
And sometimes He will put you in almost an excruciating place. And, you know, sometimes in the excruciating place, you may even think this, the devil. And sometimes there are some things that come from the devil. There is, because he doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. But there's times when there's a furnace that you'll walk through that heats things up so hot that you'll look at something you might otherwise not look at. We have a tendency to say, I'm good, I'm okay, this is good. I got the anointing, I'm praying in tongues, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm witnessing, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm good, good this way. But to fulfill the destiny of God, you have to remember, your destiny is a heavenly, an immortal, and a perfect thing.
Amen.
And a mortal cannot carry it according to the glory and holiness of God in an earthly way. So yeah, you may be doing good. Here's something. Here's why the Bible says that when you compare yourselves among yourselves, it's not wise.
Amen.
This is exactly why it says it. Because if you start moving in the anointing and you compare yourselves among yourselves and you're the only one in your church, you know, healing the sick, you can start to think, well, I'm doing good. I got it. They're all coming to me. When the pastor's not home, they're calling me. I'm helping them. I got it. And that is one of the biggest enemies you have. Because when you start to think that, you will never go any farther towards your destiny. And you'll only move in that anointing that you have right there, and you don't go any further. The minute you say, I got it, you have done stopped. If you will continue to press into Him, even sometimes leaving behind some things, and you will come to deeper levels of anointing, and then even then move in to press into more, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper into God, into what He would release. You know, I had a friend say to me one time, well, if I compare myself to other people, I look pretty good, but when I compare myself to Him, I look awful. I thought, you know, that's right.
Amen.
That's right. And the person that said this to me is moving in a lot of power. This person that said this to me is moving in a lot of power and has been for years. But what was he doing? He was comparing himself to Jesus Christ and saying, ooh, you know. And that's the truth about us. And this destiny that we want to embrace, it's a holy and a heavenly calling. Paul talked about pressing in for the prize of the high calling. It was like he was, you know, if you really think about that phrase, it's like you're trying to get the high calling. Well, the older I get, the more I think that's exactly what it does mean. People are called, but most people never press in to be changed enough to get the higher calling. You can take a person who ain't hardly called, but if they'll press and keep pressing, it's like the tortoise and the hare. You got Joe Blow, who was hugely called and chosen. They sit around resting on their laurels, thinking they got it all, because they're used in power. And then you got this old tortoise whom, you know, maybe they weren't special, but they know the Word of God, and by golly, they're pressing in to get the glory. You watch, they'll surpass them. You watch it. I've seen it. They'll press in until they've got something from God, and everybody else is going, wait a minute, I want that. And they'll say, oh, that one is called, that one is chosen, but the truth is, they pressed. They just kept on pressing and wouldn't quit and wouldn't quit and wouldn't quit. Paul said, I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm pressing. And so as you look at your destiny, destiny is something that can't be understood with earthly thinking or mortal eyes. We look so much in the natural that if we see somebody heal the sick or raise the dead, you know, we see that as a bigger thing, but there's bigger things in the kingdom than that. I love that stuff. You know me, I love that stuff. We love miracles at our house. We love them. But there's something even greater to be had. Those things are an outflow of a deeper thing. If you seek after walking in miracles, that's cool. You can have that. The Bible says you can have that. These signs shall accompany those that believe. They lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The Bible says you can walk in that. And that's cool to press in for that. I'm pressing in for everything God has. Everything. I want it all. All. I want it all. I want everything that He has promised us. Everything He wants to give us. I want it all. And not just for me. I want it for every believer. I want the believers to move and live as we were born to. If you press in for that stuff, that's a good thing. But there's those things, I believe, are an outflow of a work of God that happens on your insides. I want to say in your guts. There's something that God can do on the inside of you that manifests all that other stuff. It manifests healings. It manifests life. It manifests miracles. It manifests the Word of God. It manifests heaven into earth. So there's this lifestyle of pressing into heavenly things. We have got to begin to think of heaven as home. Heaven is our home.
Amen.
And what happens with people is we think of God as being there and we're here. Begin to change that thinking and you'll see more stuff. You're not supposed to be living here. Your body's here. Your spirit is to be living with Him, seated in heavenly places. And when you begin to align your understanding and your mental thoughts with the Word of God, which says you're to be seated in heavenly places, far above all these things, you'll begin to see everything in a different perspective. Everything. Your trials, your family, your situations, your calling, every single thing looks different from on high. And when you begin to think of heaven as your home, you are a citizen there, but most people don't. It takes a while to get your mind to think according to what the Word of God really says. To be living in the temple of God. In the Spirit. You should be so accustomed to praying in the Spirit that the minute you open your mouth, the minute you flip that switch, you can step over into the realm of God and move in that anointing anytime, any day, anywhere, in front of anybody. There is a place where you can live in heavenly places.
Amen.
I used to think that the anointing was something that came and went and came and went. And there's some truth to that in some sense of the word in meetings. But there's also a place where you can develop your relationship with God, where you can step over at will. You understand me? Mm-hmm. I used to think that people prophesy when God, you know, ooh, it's time. Here's a word. Well, I don't know about other people, but it don't work that way with me. When God taught me how to hear from Him, He wanted it 24/7. And I didn't get that because I never heard anybody say that. I never heard anybody say that. I thought that God talked when He wanted to talk. He had to be in some kind of mood to talk. And then He picked who He wanted to talk to, and it was this rare thing. God said, no, I want to talk to people all the time. So if you listen, I'll talk to you 24 hours a day. I'm looking for people that'll listen. I'm looking for people that will live with me, so that you step over anytime you need to and you can prophesy. I don't know how to preach. I couldn't preach if you paid me. I couldn't do it. I don't know how. This is all I know how to do. God, what are you saying? Oh, okay. Blah, 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 blah. That's all I know. It took me forever to learn. It took me years to learn it, but it's the most valuable thing I ever learned. Because it doesn't just apply to preaching. It applies to playing music I don't know. Playing an instrument I'm not very good at. And yes, I make mistakes, but guess what? The anointing still shows up, so I don't care.
Amen. Amen.
Everything I do, I'm doing by complete grace. Everything I'm doing by Him doing it through me, because I don't know how to do any of it. But He does, and I've learned one thing, and that's how to step into Him where He can do it. Life is so much easier. So this whole issue of finding your destiny, there's this journey that you're on where you are being changed, and nobody but you can take you to the end of that journey or to your destiny.
Absolutely.
And I remember, and you've heard, a lot of you forgive me, you hear me say things over and over, but some things bear repeating. I heard somebody say, when I was in my 20s, I heard them say, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And I can be kind of stubborn. If I want something, I'm a very goal-oriented person. I have one goal, and that's it.
Amen.
This is not my goal, God. I don't even know what they're talking about. I wouldn't know the walk of the Spirit if it hit me in the head, Lord. I don't know what they mean, but I know one thing. That's what I want. And if it takes me the rest of my life, Lord, I want you to teach me that. That's what I want. Because I saw a fire on their life, the person who said it to me, I saw fire. I saw anointing. I saw the presence. I saw trips to heaven, experiences with God. And I said, I'm going to have that. And I'm going to go after that. And if I got to pray in tongues till my teeth hurt, that's what I'm doing. Because I don't even know how to get it, but I know that it's in the Spirit. God, teach me. But here's the cool part. Over the years of pressing into that and learning that, all kinds of things were changed.
Amen.
In me. I'm still being changed. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still being changed. But when I look back, I'm nothing like I used to be. I was so laden with baggage. I couldn't sing in public. I couldn't hum in front of people. I couldn't speak publicly. I was horrible at relationships. I couldn't do any of this. Now, like I said, I'm still being changed, but over as a part of the journey, as I pressed in to find God in the Spirit and find out what it means to walk in the Spirit, God would put me in a situation and hold up that mirror, and I'd see something dreadful in the mirror and say, that has got to go. That is so not of you, God. You know, we accept a lot of things as being okay with God that are not okay with God. There's some things that we accept as, well, it's just normal behavior, but you know what? It's really offensive to God. And the closer you walk to Him, the more you start to go, ew. That thing in me, that's got to go. That thing that I've always accepted as being okay, it ain't okay with Him. Well, everybody does that. I don't care if everybody does that. God is pretty picky about some things. And just because you don't get struck by lightning does not mean that you don't need some correction in that area. There's things that God has called me to account on that everybody I know does that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still something He don't like, so I have to change it. And here's the next thing. Since I have no ability to change it on my own, I mean, some things you do, some things you can just change, but there's some things you try, and it seems like the harder you try, the worse you get. And then you have to just keep coming to the throne of grace and keep praying and keep praying. God, you got to do this. God, change this thing. It's offensive to you, therefore it's offensive to me. You got to deliver me from this thing, whatever it is, habit, thought pattern, whatever, attitude. And then what happens? He works with you to extract that thing Now there's a little bit of freedom in that area, and now he fills it with something. A little bit more glory. Now when you operate in that area, you release glory. The very area that you had a problem, that becomes almost like a little doorway of glory. The areas where I was the very worst in life are the areas where I'm most able to help people. Because I was delivered. And it was nothing I did right. It was Him and Him alone. His grace, His mercy. And all I did was pray and say, change me. God, change me. That has to go, God. You've got to change me. And when He did, He's so faithful. He doesn't just extract it. He will give you a new understanding, a new viewpoint, a completely new revelation on it, and then He'll give you something of Jesus. I mean, you really already have it by the Holy Ghost, but He'll put something in you that begins to work in you, an anointing that begins to work in the very area where you were a mess. And over time, you're changed a little more and a little more and a little more, and one day you find that you can pick up your destiny.
Amen.
That you can pick it up because you've been made able. You've been made. You've been changed into somebody that can now carry it. God told me years ago, you know, sometimes I'll go as I'm going through some old papers, old papers. I find stuff I wrote in the 80s and in the 90s. I mean, stuff I wrote about the glory and the river. And I'm amazed at the stuff I wrote. And then looking back over the years, my God, you did what you said you'd do. You did what you promised me. Or maybe He was explaining something to me and I'll look and say, oh, I so get it now. I totally didn't. Then I heard it and I kind of understood it at face value. But now I know it as something I have experienced. You know that in Greek there's different words for to know. There's one word though, gnosko. It's like to know it, having experienced it. Mm-hmm. To know it. Not just know it at face value. Yeah, I know that. I know that. It's a big difference. And on your journey, there's going to be some things that happen to you. There's some things on my journey that were so bad that it changed me so radically and it was so painful I wanted to die. Yet, and today, honestly, God has so healed me I can hardly remember. It's as though it happened to someone else. It's as though it happened to some stranger. And if I were to tell you, I'd actually have to try hard to even remember what really happened. Because God has so healed me. Yet I will say this. Those are the things that have worked something in me. Those are the things that have worked something in me that when someone comes up and they're facing a situation that's completely impossible, from that God will begin to speak.
Amen.
Because of something I gnosko.
Praise you, Jesus.
It's something I lived through, died to. There are some things you die to that are so excruciating. It seems as though your heart can't take one more thing.
Amen.
Because it's so difficult, so hard. And no one can understand that when you're in it. There is no one but the Lord that can really understand your pain when you're going through a death process. But that death process is worth more than all the treasure, because out of that death, once it is completed, if you allow it to have its perfect work, when as you mortify or allow the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh, mortify even some of the things that may even seem good, some of your good dreams, some of your good hopes, even those He will mortify. And finally, He will even mortify your ministry and your destiny.
What do you mean mortify?
Kill.
Oh, okay.
It means kill. You know, in Romans, He talks about mortify the deeds of the flesh. The final thing I had to die to was the ministry at all. Lord, I'll serve You if all I ever do is go help some older person. Buying groceries, that's it. If I never do that thing that burns in my heart, I'll serve You. There comes a death. That was always my will, but there comes a real dying to where there is nothing left but an empty shell. And then guess what? Now he's got somebody he can use.
Amen.
Now he's got a shell he can pick up and fill with himself. Because you don't have an agenda anymore. You don't have your own dreams and hopes anymore. You have only one thing. Now you really are. It's no longer me, but Christ who lives in me, because I died. That's what Paul meant. I died, but Jesus Christ lives in me. Because everything I lived for, every hope and dream I had, was killed in the war. Thank God. See, that is of great value and of great treasure, because now the Lord can take your mortal body and fill you without measure, because the measure you use, that's what's measured to you. The more you throw yourself into God, the more you give Him and give up for Him and put on the altar and let Him burn it, the day comes when He won't, I'm telling you, He'll seek you out to bless you. The favor of the Lord will follow you. He will find ways to bless you. He'll start asking you, what is it you want? I want to bless you. Why, God? I never did anything right. Because you sowed your life.
Amen.
Because you sowed your life into Him. He started giving me things. I kept saying, why are you giving me stuff? I never did it right. I never did anything right. He said, do you really think? He said, don't you realize now I've obligated myself? Because the measure you use, I have to measure it back to you.
Amen.
There was not one thing that when I asked you to die to it, that you held back. There's not one thing. If I asked you to give your house right now, you'd give it. Yes, sir, I would, and have done so. If I asked your car, you'd have it. Shoes, clothes, you name it. There isn't anything I have, tangible or intangible. Dream, hope, nothing. There's nothing. And because of that, He has obligated Himself. And I didn't say this, He did. Shocking. He said, is there anything you think that my hand would withhold from you now? No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. There is nothing His hand would hold back from a person who has given Him everything, but He will test you. You can't just say it and even mean it in your heart. You have to live it. And sometimes that process takes a while. It takes some time. And people do not get it, because most Christians never die. Most Christians never do really go through the death process. You know, they'll go like so far, but no farther. And that's all right. Hallelujah. Bless them. But as you proceed towards your destiny, and I believe this is what you were saying, Steve, I believe that the people in this room are the ones that were supposed to be in this room. I'm not entirely sure this message is for everybody. Because not everybody can do this. And frankly, I wasn't able to do it. God had to raise someone up to carry me through about 4 years of it in prayer. Because I just couldn't go on anymore. After He took everything, shouldn't say He took, but He asked me to lay down everything. Everything in my life was removed that mattered to me. Everything I cared about. So when everything is removed, you don't care about anything anymore. You really don't want to live. You can't think of a reason to go through one more day. Can't think of one. That's where I was at. But I knew in my spirit, I knew it was all about this. That one day, there would be resurrection power, because what He kills, He will raise from the dead. So if Christians wait till they die before they die, they'll be raised to a resurrection. Hallelujah. His mercy is great and they'll get in. But I would rather have my death and resurrection now.
Amen.
And walk in heaven on earth. Walk in spiritual resurrection power here and now, as though I am living in heaven, because I am. So that when I go in, I remember I'll never forget this, we were sitting, actually I think there's people in this room that were present, sitting in our family room, and a few people were over, and we're all going to go to the movies. We're going to go to a fun movie. Like a kid's movie, you know. I like children's movies. Yeah. Kind of weird that way. And we had about a half an hour to spare before we needed to leave. And this one person said, talked about a time when we were in prayer and we, quote, went deep. And she said, we don't do that often enough. And something in my spirit was kind of like, ugh, what do you mean we don't do that often enough? we live there. We live there. You can step there. You can step in there anytime you want. And out of my spirit, I said this. I said, will you let me take you somewhere? And everybody said, yeah. And we began to take a little trip. And God took us into a realm of heaven and spoke things that were so profound, I can't even remember everything that was said, but it was like we were all just completely blown out by the presence of the Lord. And what the Lord was trying to say was, it should not be a rare occurrence where once in a while you go deep. And there's no condemnation in this, but he's trying to pull you to a deeper realm, pull you into a lifestyle where you're living in that place where all you have to do is step in. Mm-hmm. Step into your prayer closet and boom. That's the lifestyle for you. You're in this room because that's the lifestyle God has called you to. And here's the cool thing. You will interact all day with people who have no idea. And that's okay. You give to them what God says to give to them, no more, no less. You don't decide what they get because you don't know their heart. You don't know their brain. You don't know what they've lived through. You simply let the Lord give you something for them. You give it to them. You move on. You don't try to fix their problem. You don't try to fix their life. Here's what God has for you today. There's some people that will come to me for prayer sometimes more than once a week. But you know, God has something to say to them. And I notice it's always what they need today.
Amen.
Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. And eventually they grow to the point where they can go get it themselves. So you're bound for a destiny, and most of you already know, I believe actually all of you already know in your heart that there's something you're going to do for God.
Yes.
And there's a holy dissatisfaction because really nothing else is fulfilling.
Amen.
And as you come closer and closer to fulfilling your destiny, there's a thing that happens. There's really no words in English for it, but I call it being turned inside out. Because there's something on the inside of you that is of God that has been hidden, that no one really knows about but you and God. And occasionally another person will catch a glimpse. But as you move closer and closer to destiny, and as you're changed more and more into His likeness, what begins to happen is that that which was on the inside begins to be made known and to manifest and to bless more and more people.
Amen.
And your flesh begins to be brought under. So the glory of God is released, and the thing that was your flesh is under by the grace of God because you have died a death. That doesn't mean you're perfect. I don't know. Maybe we do get to that point. I don't know. I haven't got there yet, so can't preach about that. I haven't got to perfect yet. But I'll tell you, I'm still looking in that mirror all the time. Still asking God every day, Lord, I want you to show me. Expose to me the things. Do you know what our biggest problem is? I'm okay the way I am. That thing is okay. It's okay. And that's the stuff. God's not mad about it. You're not condemned. He knows we're human. He knows we're made of clay. But that's the stuff that as we're willing to face it and say, yeah, yep, that needs to change. Yep. Lord, change me. And that's the stuff that as we allow Him to crucify it in us. There's some people in here, you're even dying to some relationships. You're being crucified in the area of some relationships. And it's painful. And your logic is telling you, but we're Christians. And we're supposed to be in a relationship. But do you know that sometimes with relationships, it can become a little bit of idolatry. Where the relationship becomes closer than God likes. Because He will be the one and only. And sometimes you'll go through a season where He'll actually sever practically every relationship you have and you're alone with Him. For a season of being changed where He is your one and only. And when that gets to be, yeah, I like this. alone with God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm one of those, you can leave me alone forever. Hallelujah. Put me on a desert island and Holly's happy. I'm not, you know, I'm just one of those people. I love to be alone with God. I love it. I've discovered the only vacation I like is the one that gives me a private place to pray. If I don't have that, I don't care what kind of sights you show me. I love to travel, but that just won't do it for me. That's the truth. Don't give me some hotel room. Give me a hotel room with either a balcony or a suite or somewhere I can hide with Him. I mean, I've just discovered that about me. We have all these little nooks and crannies and places to go hide and pray at our house. So God is bringing you into something.
Yes, He is.
And some of you are getting close.
Okay.
Some of you are in a state of fire right now, and it's been very, very hard to even keep going or want to.
Amen.
But I believe that this is what God is saying. Even though you're allowing Him to kill you, know this, that when He raises you up, you'll be wholly you for the first time in your life.
Praise Jesus.
And somehow it'll be Him too. When you come out of this in resurrection power, somehow you're more like Him than you ever were, but you're more like you than you ever could be. You're more uniquely you because you're free to be who you were born to be. And it's a blast. There's nothing more fun than finally doing what you were born to do. So this is what I believe the Lord is saying tonight. Bear with the process. Even though it hurts, even though it's excruciating, and even though you may feel like I'm killing you, you may even feel like I've left you for dead. But I want you to know, my child, that I will raise you up when this process is complete. And you will accomplish what you were born to accomplish.
Amen.
And I will be with you myself. And I will do the work in you that you could not do alone. You have wanted to walk in the anointing. You've wanted and desired so much to walk in power. And you have walked in some. Well done. But there will come a day when I will raise you up. A vessel that can carry my glory and yet not touch it. That can speak of my greatness and take none for yourself. That can speak of me and take no pride in it whatsoever. That can deliver a message, know that it's me, know that it hits the mark, and yet have no pride about it because you know that in the clinches, you failed. You know that in the death process, you didn't do so good.
Yes, Lord.
And that's the glory of God manifest through a human. And that's what it's about. And for me, there is nothing else. For me, that is it in life. All the other stuff won't matter to me if this is not accomplished. And at the end of your life, you're not going to look back at all the stuff you think is some of the stuff we think is important is going to be so unimportant at that moment. That the thing you're going to look back and say, did I do what I was born to do? Did I fulfill His desire? Did He manifest Himself through me? Did I build His kingdom? Did I build up His kingdom? Did I build His kingdom? Because a lot of ministers build their own. I'm not condemning anybody. That is human nature. And if you don't die to it, that's us. That's our nature. It's my nature. That was my nature. And that was one of the biggest things I had to crucify, not me, but Him crucifying. I took a look at my heart and it stank.
Amen.
We say, oh Lord, I wanna be used in healing. I want to be used in prophecy. Because we want to be seen as the spiritual one. But there's something that happens in the death process. It's like an inversion of your heart. And suddenly you care about one thing, and that's you want Him glorified. and you're happy when a 5-year-old kid says, I laid hands on somebody and they got healed.
Yeah.
You're happy when somebody else prophesies and it's dead on. Hits the target. Yeah! Because suddenly something happens where it ain't about you anymore, but it's about Him getting what He wants, getting His desire. God, what would make you happy?
Amen.
What would make you happy today? I am sick and tired of what would make me happy. Who cares? When I die, it isn't going to matter whether something made me look spiritual or not. That's all garbage. Throw that out. That when we stand before Him, if our heart had been a heart of God, raise up your people. Raise up your kingdom. Build your throne. Build your name. That's a thrill.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart that that's how it was in the garden before the fall. That everything was really about Him. I believe before the fall that the nature of Adam, before the fall now, his first thought was, what's in it for God? I believe that's part of the fall, was that we became self-absorbed and self became God. And even when we're born again, a lot of times self is still God.
Yes.
And we think about ministry as about being all about us. And whether we got God's stamp of approval because we were used or not. And so there's a thing that's going to take place in your hearts. I took some time pressing into that thing of change my motives, God. Because I didn't like what I saw. And I took some time and prayed that through. But God was faithful. God is faithful. You get what you press in for. God is very faithful. It took a couple of years for me to press into that. But I did see God changing some things about me. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.